This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay, welcome to the Place to Be Nation. I'm Will. Tonight, I'm joined by my buddy Johnny Sorrow from the Titans of Wrestling and the Brainbuster Game. Yep. And I'm also joined by Place to Be Own Nation's very own. I screwed up the fucking.
But you boy, wow, you know.
Place to Be Nation's very own Scott, who also happens to host the main event. Make sure you check out this week's main event. I heard it was pretty interesting.
That's your gimmick, and the only time
it's not a gimmick, dude. I'm a horrible speaker. That's what it is, man.
No. Last night's recording, you went through the intro perfect.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, man. I did.
It was great. Okay. But tonight you fall back into your gimmick of fucking up all the intros.
God, I'm sorry about that, Scott. Place to Be Nation's very own Scott.
And yeah, there was no boring. I don't remember there being many boring moments on Main Event this past week. So.
Yeah.
Check it out. It was an awesome show.
Yeah, we had fun. All right, guys.
I chose not to.
See, that's what Johnny's gimmick is remind everybody that he only listens to the shows that he's on and ignores every other show. All right.
Why would I? Why would I want to listen to a negative version of me?
I don't like listening to the positive version of you. Anyway, come on. It's all love all here. Right. Anyway,
let's go.
Tonight, WrestleMania weekend, WWE Hall of Fame class. We're going to do a little different format. We're not going to run down every speech line by line. Each of us, what we're going to do is we're going to give our favorite moment of the speech, and then we're going to give our favorite moment from the career of the, what do you call them, inductees?
Yeah, inductees.
Yeah, we're going to keep it positive, man. Keeping it positive, keeping it happy. And so show opened up with Rikishi, inducted by the Usos, his sons. And I'll start off with you, Scott. What was your favorite part of the Rikishi induction tonight?
I like that he ran down his lineage, because I think a lot of people forget that. I mean, that Samoan bloodline is long and distinguished, and he mentioned
not really blood, because
half blood, I guess in reputation only. But no, he mentioned everybody, and he had the guts to mention Roman Reigns, and that a couple of annoying boos, but whatever. But it was fine. And the dance at the end, of course. Although it would have been pretty sweet if they could find, I don't know if Brian Christopher could cross state lines for any reason at this
point.
There
you go. No shit, man.
But at least Scotty Too Hotty. But no, it was cool to see the dance at the end. And he just seemed genuinely, and I think this goes for our next inductee that went up. He just genuinely seemed happy to be there. Like, it really touched him. Because Rikishi's a guy that you think, oh, yeah, no, maybe, but no, there's no doubt he belongs in. And the dance at the end with his kids, I think, was – and I think – and my prediction, quick, tomorrow night you will – or I guess tonight, since it's past midnight, at least on the East Coast, you will see a stink face at WrestleMania.
Wow, okay.
I you're right with me, dude. I predicted the same thing.
Yeah.
So from Rikishi's career, what's your favorite moment from his career, Scott?
He had a great, I'm trying to remember the pay-per-view. I think it was Fully Loaded 2000.
I know maybe. Which moment you're talking
he
about.
He had a great cage match with Val Venus that I thought was fantastic.
It was great.
It was a great cage match for the IC title. And his King of the Ring run the month before, even though Angle won the tournament, he was pretty impressive. They played up that whole chair shots to the arm thing, and they did like the painted bruise or whatever. But I would say that 2 month stretch is King of the Ring 2000 performance, even though he didn't win the tournament, he lost to Angle, and the cage match with Val at Fully Loaded.
Dude, he was hot in 2000, man. Johnny,
definitely.
Favorite moment from his Hall of Fame speech, bud.
From the speech, let's see, from the speech, I'm going to go with the rundown of the lineage. And it wasn't just a smattering of boos. I was just kind of like, hey, dummies, you know what? You know, shut up with the Hall of Fame with the Roman Reigns boos. You know. But I love the lineage thing because he didn't leave anyone out. He's like, Manu? And still got, you know, yay, there's applause.
So he did leave one person out, Rosie. Didn't mention Rosie.
Oh, he did. That's right. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. He didn't mention Rosie. I didn't think of that.
The only one I could, because, dude, this is how nerdy I am. While the speech is going on, he starts naming off Asuka. I have the little family tree from Wikipedia on there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I'm like, okay, so L.A. Smooth isn't going to be mentioned. You know, he mentions The Rock. He mentions Umaga. Tonga Kid, you know.
Yeah, no, I marked it.
That's why I marked out kid. For man.
Yeah, I did too.
Tonga Kid,
you know, but yeah, I did not mention Rosie. So black mark there, Rikishi. God damn it. But well, all right, favorite Rikishi moment, Johnny.
Maybe he owes him money, you know. Right. Yeah. My favorite Rikishi moment is when they first introduced the Rikishi character. And it wasn't Stink Face, and it wasn't Fun Loving, yet he was kind of like a killer. And they had him that one moment. I don't know where or when or what TV show it was, but it was the very first time that he danced with Too Cool because it came out of nowhere. It was like I remember watching whatever show it was, and I'm like, okay, he's gonna kill these two motherfuckers right now. That's what's going to happen, right? And instead, he drops down and starts fucking dancing. And I popped like a motherfucker. And that was my favorite Rikishi moment.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say, actually, I'm just going to pile on the running down the Samoans. But to me, when he was talking in Samoan. That felt like the most I say this, but to me that really felt like the most heartfelt moment in Hall of Fame history until you go through the rest of the show and then the next speech becomes the most heartfelt moment in Hall of Fame history.
This was a Hall of Fame of I went through a box of Kleenex through this whole fucking thing. So.
Okay. Mm. Well, as Rikishi, Scott, yeah, him jumping off the cage onto Val Venus, my favorite Rikishi moment. But my actually favorite Rikishi Fatu moments came with the Samoan Swati, man. Like when they were killing jobbers in WCW, man. My buddy Rob Naylor turned me on to some of those, and man, they were just vicious. So
yeah, you know, it's funny, Will. I didn't even think of that. I was thinking WWE Rikishi, but yeah, I loved Samoan SWAT team, which means technically he is the first of what seems like many Paul Heyman guys tonight.
Oh no, we're gonna get to that when we get to the Alundra Blaze.
Okay.
So yes. next guy on the list, a Paul Heyman guy, part of the Dangerous Alliance, but you know they really played up the Nitro era thing in the video package, and of course the Bruno Sammartino thing. I thought Bruno gave a great speech.
Yes.
And Johnny, this time we're going to start with you. Favorite moment from the Larry speech?
Well, oh my god, the fact that he was just stoned.
Not stoned.
Oh, Larry Zbyszko is a prolific pot smoker.
Not saying he's not.
And he was, if he wasn't stoned, he was approaching it from a stoned perspective, which I loved everything about, because he kept going back and forth. And I don't know if I can pick a moment. I adored every minute of this. I'm a huge Larry Zbyszko fan, as you know. At Titans, we just go over the top to praise the Bruno Larry feud in its entirety, and not just the bits and pieces most people have seen. And it was just him constantly going, wow, man, this is so intense, and going back to thank Bruno over and over again. You know, a lot of people, I'm sure, probably were like, oh, he's repeating himself. I didn't care. I wanted to hear more about the Hedges. I wanted to hear more about
the Hedges,
his promises. And he was all over the place, but in a wonderful way. Okay. And I just loved the speech in its entirety.
And favorite Larry moment?
My favorite Larry moment, Well, again, since because we've watched all this footage, is a promo he did that's not readily available, where they're going back and forth during in the middle of the Bruno feud, where Bruno's out previously and mentions Dominic DiNucci, you know, and all these people who are disappointed in Larry. And Larry just comes out and goes, "Who cares about Dominic? They're your stooges, Bruno. I don't care anymore." And it was just this wild, great fucking promo. And great. That's my favorite Larry Moore.
Okay, well, be sure to check out those old Titans episodes where they run that down, man. Get your Bruno Larry fix. Scott, favorite moment from Larry's speech?
I got to echo Sorrows. He could tell me about Bruno for hours because he's Bruno, man. He's fucking Bruno. I was at the Garden 2 years ago. I was there to see his Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a Bruno guy forever. My grandfather was an usher at the old New Haven Arena up here in Connecticut. And, Bruno used to ask him where the best sandwiches were and where I could get the best chicken parm. So.
Let me ask you, Scott's grandfather, where's the best place to get a chicken farm around?
My grandfather knew the place. So that's I could hear Larry talk about Bruno all night because he meant it. I love the fact that he was a little off the deep end, but the fact that he everything was from the heart with him tonight.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved. And my favorite Larry moment, anything during his run as the enforcers with Arn. Tell me that wasn't the most boss tag team ever.
Yep,
you didn't need
it was tough, man. Yeah, if the Brainbusters didn't exist with Tully, man, I think you're right.
They had no gimmicks, no, you know, nothing funny. They were just two grizzled old motherfuckers who potatoed the shit out of you. That's what I loved about them.
And they break Barry Windham's fucking hand.
Yes, they did.
Was that Halloween Havoc 91?
Yep.
I think so. Because I think a quick thing. I think a lot of people forget the middle of Larry's career. They either think of Bruno and that stretch from what is it 77 to 81,
Bruno feud was 80.
Yeah. And then the Dangerous Alliance. They kind of forget the AWA run because by the time he was champion, the company was trash. And then obviously when he was on Nitro. And I think
we mentioned AWA run. I just want to throw this in there. Here's how great Larry Zbyszko was as a bad guy. The AWA's preeminent bad guy forever is Nick Bockwinkel.
Correct.
Okay, AWA always likes to do, when a guy gets to a certain age, they turn him babyface. The only guy who could get those AWA crowds to suddenly like Nick Bockwinkel is Larry Zbyszko. Fucking Zbyszko.
You are
hateable.
You are absolutely right.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, my favorite part of the speech was seeing that he simply admitted that this is harder than he thought it would be.
Yeah.
When he just said, man, this is harder than I thought it would be, you know, it was very captivating speech. And, you know what? I'm conflicted because after hearing the Titans talk about it, man, the Bruno feud sounds so exciting. I loved a lot of Larry Bockwinkel matches in AWA. I can't argue with Scott about the Dangerous Alliance. But my favorite thing is the guy's retired. He's a commentator. Comes out of commentary to do that feud with William Regal.
Yeah.
And that was such an awesome feud, as Scott will testify to. So
absolutely. That also
harkened to the Bruno feud. Because that was something that was part of his career forever. Is in that moment, he was the old guy getting called out by the young guy.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And that was like a culmination in WCW of a WWF angle. That's exactly what they did with that. Yeah, it's great.
All right. Well, cool. I mean, let's go to another member of the Dangerous Alliance. Alundra Blaze, a.k.a. Medusa. You notice, I think she wanted to be inducted as Medusa, and it really felt that way. She kept dropping the Medusa name a lot. Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, Blaze, but Medusa, that's me. Which I think probably has more to do with the fact that her, isn't her current, like, monster truck deal Medusa?
Yeah,
I think that's probably.
I have no idea.
But
yeah, no, it is. It is.
I just want to add in the one thing from Mr. Positivity that really annoyed me during the bleeping of WWF and WWWF that went on early in this show.
Oh, come on.
I was just puzzled. I wasn't really mad.
I'm not mad. I'm fucking mad. Exactly. I was like, really? What's the fucking point? You know? Why?
I thought they had cleared it up. I thought they had cleared it up legally. They didn't have to do that.
So did I. That's why I was like,
that's weird. Yeah.
Okay. And so let's go with Scott first on here. Alundra Blaze. I mean, and it's weird, man, because, you know, I mean, we don't always give women their props. But are there any moments from her career that stand out to you?
Yeah, definitely. Her match with Bull Nakano, or as Justin and I call her, Bull Nakano.
what the fuck was that?
I don't know. For some reason,
Nakano.
Yeah, one time on Raw.
I thought she was Nakano too, man. I'm not gonna lie.
No, she is not. But one time, I think Savage said he was like, "Yeah, this Bull Nakano." So we.
This Bull Nakano.
To be fair, Johnny knocked it out of the park last night. This one, we're gonna forgive you tonight, Johnny. But listen to our Mr. WrestleMania special. You would swear Randy Savage was resurrected from the grave the way Johnny did it last night.
That's because when I did it, I also was complimenting you. So,
that's
but,
true.
But yeah, my favorite. She had a great match with her Bull Nakano, both in Japan, which I think was like taped on Raw or something. But anything in the Dangerous Alliance. And she had a decent little feud with like Missy in that like 91-92 stretch too. It was kind of on TV anyway, it was entertaining. My favorite moment tonight, and she had a lot of them. She had a great speech.
Yeah.
Calling out every member of the Dangerous Alliance.
Yes.
I was just fucking marking out like crazy.
It was a shame that Austin wasn't there on this night, right?
I know. Of all nights, he doesn't show up. Usually he does.
Or Bobby Eaton.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how Bobby Eaton's health is right now, but I know he's having issues. But yeah, it was nice for him to get called out, and just to call out it, for Paul's sake, because I think a lot of people. You know, not a lot of the newer fans who aren't Paul Heyman fans, you know, because, you know, he's a
Paul.
Brock Lesnar guy. Yeah, pretty well that too. But, you know, I think people needed to appreciate the fact that from 90 to 93 or whatever, 90 to 94, he was, or actually more like 89 to 92, I guess. He was a WCW mainstay, and, you know, Dangerous Alliance was awesome. You can't not say that they were the coolest faction in WCW in the late 80s into early 90s. And you had an unbelievable cachet of talent. And I like definitely that we had multiple, and we'll say it across the whole show, we had multiple Rick Rude drops tonight. And that was pretty cool, too.
Yes.
And that was cool, too.
Yes.
So, yeah. Of all the great things Medusa Blaze did tonight, calling out name by name the Dangerous Alliance was my highlight of her speech.
Johnny highlighted the speech, buddy.
Real quick, I want to say, there was like almost like a definite unspoken. We're gonna mention Rick Rude, just so it's in people's fucking minds. And next year, he better fucking get in. So
maybe he'll be the posthumous guy. You know?
Yeah, I would hope so.
Dallas.
I love him. My favorite part of the speech. Again, hard to fucking isolate one.
Just pick one.
I just thought she was really fucking great. I liked her explaining the trash can thing before they did the gimmick earlier, where she's like, "Yeah, she's like, you know why? Job security." Yeah, like, meh, okay, you know, explains it. You know that was really cool. I just thought she carried herself amazingly well, and was really fun.
What's your favorite Medusa / Blaze moment, man?
Mine is, you know, I recognize the fact that she was a really great wrestler, but mine is the Dangerous Alliance split after Paul Heyman calls her a fucking hooker. You know, I could get a better girl out on the streets than a hooker like you. And she slaps the fucking shit out of him. And then the lead up to the Medusa Paul Heyman fight, where after he cheats, you know, to hit her and be a douche, like most of the Dangerous Alliance just walks away from him, like, you know, yeah, you cross the line, dummy. And she was so good in that. That's my favorite Medusa thing. Yeah. When she turns on Paul Heyman after he insults her.
You know what? I can't argue with that. I can't argue with her working All Japan Women's. Mine was when she, and I hate this era of WCW, 1999 WCW, but I thought her being part of Macho Man's crew was, to me at that point in time, you know, when her Macho Man. And she shouted him out, too, man. Not only she shouted out a member of Dangerous Alliance, she shouted out the...
Team Macho.
I mean, like, she really made sure that anyone who was a presence in her career got their due.
It was funny because she said Nora Greenwald, and I was waiting for her to go Molly Holly, and she didn't.
No. Well, I'm sure in her personal life, that's Nora. You know?
No, I know. I was just waiting for that, you know, to be something.
A clarification, because no one knew who she was, probably.
I mean, and I gave props to Evan Courageous.
Yeah. You know what? I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I said at the time, after her speech, that because, you know, she's like, taking you on that roller coaster of her emotions, right? You do the patriotic thing with her husband, which was really heartfelt. She's tearing up, mentioning Rick Rude, who's passed away, and Macho Man, who's passed away. Like, I really felt, you know, she did the comedy, you know? I really felt that was one of the best speeches in Hall of Fame history that this.
I want to mention one more moment.
And that's the shot at Vince Russo when she pulls out the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And says, who would write such horrible stuff where I'm squirting this around? But on the other hand, make sure you pick up JR's really good barbecue sauce, because to me, a shot at Vince Russo that it's not just the smarky smark fans who criticize him, but the guys and the girls in the back recognize that it was shit, too.
That was good. That was good.
Loved it. And I already said my favorite moment. So let's move on. This next segment, Tearjerker. Don't really want to, you know, I mean, obviously we can't say what's our favorite Connor moment. I mean, the video package is the answer, right? You know, I mean, just those moments are cool.
Absolutely.
Awesome speech by Brian. This one, don't get on your soapbox, Johnny. Nobody's saying anything bad about the kid. Is there anything you want to say about this segment?
I love the fact that the Statue of Warrior actually is so realistic that his junk is present.
Only you, Johnny.
You know what? I can't lie to you, Will. The fact that that part of the statue stayed on camera for like 35 minutes.
Thank you.
Jesus, God, they made him like freaking Caligula or whatever. God, holy Jesus. Ultimate Warrior, wasn't he?
That would have been his wife's request.
They didn't over exaggerate it, though. It was like, oh yeah, he's got the, you know, the pointy thing in the front of his tights, just like most wrestlers in the 80s did. It's not like he's like Too Cold Scorpio smuggling an anaconda in there. It's realistic. Okay. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, hell of a sculptor. I wish he had shown as much detail as they did to his cock to the face, because I don't know if it really looked like all that much, but...
okay. Moving on. So, Scott, anything you want to say about the segment before we move on?
I just got to say that kudos to Connor's dad. I mean, that was not an easy moment for that whole speech. And then when his little brother came out, the whole thing was awesome. There's really nothing bad you could say about it whatsoever.
Yeah. I'll tell
and
you what. Hold on, Johnny. Let me get, you can get it in a minute.
Okay.
All right. Unfortunately, when Connor's dad said, "Okay, I'm going to bring his little brother out to say something," my stream froze. So, like, all I usually have to do is I just hit the little, there's a little button that says live, and I hit live, and it'll refresh the stream right away. And I hit it, and the music's playing, and they're like, walking off. And I'm like, oh, that's fucked up. They didn't let the little kid talk to his brother. And then someone told me, like, no, he said, "I love you, Connor." So that was a fitting into the speech, man.
Okay. My joke aside there, I'm just like, I was in tears for this entire fucking thing. In the Warrior stuff, too, you know, with his wife talking, I was all choked up, and I don't even like. I was never a Warrior fan.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of the fact that he was very homophobic, but I'm like, you know what? Everyone's flawed. You know, he's dead. Yeah, and I thought it was all very heartfelt, and
right.
I really was touched, and I cried a lot. Okay,
cool. Well, let's go to a segment. There's no way you could have cried during this segment. The Bushwhackers, man. Luke and Butch come out.
I cried
in
joy.
Yeah, I cried laughing.
Tears of joy. Okay. I did legitimately laugh out loud several times during this. Man, Butch looked old. But, man, even with his cane, man, he was out there doing his walk. And he was so lively on the mic. I've heard Luke talk on podcast before. I think he's been on Cole Cabana's, on Piper's, Roddy Piper's podcast. I'm sure I'm missing other podcasts I've heard him on. So I'm used to hearing Luke, but man, Butch, man, he brought the party to this event, man. And so there's so much good stuff here. Johnny, give me your favorite moment of this speech. Just one. Come on.
Okay. I just wanted to add to that. Butch Miller stole this fucking show. That's, as far as I'm concerned, Butch Miller is the star of this Hall of Fame show. He was just so fun. But my favorite thing he did, the Royal Rumble reference, and then going back to it later.
Money.
Oh, everybody remembers you going in and out. I was in there for 25 bleeding fucking minutes, mate. and then bring it up again. You know, as a great callback, and the fact that he stayed in Bushwhacker voice while giving these emotional testaments to everybody he loves, including his wife.
Okay.
He's a fucking no. He it was brilliant. Now I want to know why Luke Williams can't get someone to either dye his hair or get a toupee or whatever it is that matches the rest of his hair.
Leave him alone. Come on. Leave him alone. He looks good. For as old as he is, he looked good, man. I recognize the hair, but come on.
No. For an older
gentleman,
you know, you'd think he'd have his hair together better than that.
All right. Favorite sheepherders or bushwhackers moment, Johnny?
Oh, fuck it. It's the sheepherders and Jack Victory in the the barbed wire 2x4 cage against Fantastics and Terry Taylor in UWF. That's my absolute favorite sheepherders moment because me and my buddy Wolfman had two dates over to the house, and we actually made them sit and watch that before we went off to do other shit. We made our dates. We have to watch UWF. And that was the match. And we actually made our girls watch that bloodbath before we went off on dates. Nice. And that match is awesome.
It is a fun match. Scott, Bushwhackers were a point of contention on the main event this past week, man.
yes, they were.
So, you know, obviously, I'm guessing that your favorite moment's going to come from the Sheepherders. Mm-hmm. But before we get that favorite moment of the speech, bud.
It was pointed out on one of the Facebook threads tonight when they were going through all the guys that were getting up to do the, you know, the bushwhack, you know, the arm, you know, the arm raising up and down, and they got Brett and they got Piper and DiBiase. But of course they saved the best for last, I suppose, or worse, depending on your, if you're agreeing with me. And out came their SummerSlam 92 six-man tag partner, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hey,
of course, everybody on Facebook blew up and said, oh, Scott Griscola's favorite six-man tag team. I'm like, oh, Christ. But I smiled. I thought I enjoyed that. I admit
I wonder
that for
why
that
Hacksaw
moment,
didn't actually go up to the stage. Is he hurt?
Yeah, you know, maybe he tripped and he wanted to tear his rental tux.
He was nowhere near an aisle. He would have actually had to be like, excuse me.
I remember, all right, my favorite, well, it's definitely Sheepherders, of course. Let me think. There's a couple of matches. I have them on tapes. They were in the first Crockett Cup, I remember.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And they fought.
The whole match does not exist.
Maybe it's not that one then. They fought the Midnight Express. They fought the Fantastics at Clash 2. Now, clearly, I'm sure Sorrow is not as good as that six-man tag. I got to find that match. I want to say it was in Mid-South, maybe? Did they work with Lawler? Yeah. I'm thinking there was a match. I think it's on that Wrestling Gold set, that one that came out with Meltzer and Cornette. It was like a cage. I think it was the Sheepherders against maybe Lawler and Austin Idol, maybe, before Austin Idol turned on them.
You know what the sad thing is about the Sheepherders' history? Is that Jonathan Boyd, who was also part of their run.
And Rip Morgan.
Rip Morgan. They're the ones who were in that cage match. but I mean that's a bad quality video, you know, like where you just see like four guys beating the shit out of each other.
Dude, I'll tell you this also. One of the summers I went to go spend a week with my relatives in Kentucky, where I'd get to go if I got lucky enough to go to see a Memphis show at the Louisville Gardens. One of them was like, "The Sheepherders are taking on the Fabulous Ones." And I'm like, "Awesome!" And it was Jonathan Boyd and Rip Morgan. I was like, "Oh,
the Fabs were awesome, man." But yeah. But no, Mid-South, they had tons of great matches. Portland, this is my favorite moment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Portland. You know, they were feuding with everybody. Sometimes they team with Buddy Rose. I think Boyd was with them. But they have a match, and then they do this maniac interview after the match. This was like when, you know, because the Sheepherders always were pretty violent. But this, like, was one of those, holy shit, these guys are off their rockers. They might legitimately hurt their opponents type of promo. So if y'all can seek out any old Portland promos from the Sheepherders, I highly recommend that.
That lends into probably, I just remembered one of my favorite things in this speech is when Butch says, he's like, "We were doing hardcore before we knew what that meant." And I'm like, everybody says that, but the Sheepherders
can lay claim to it. But anything else you want to say about this, Scott, before I give mine?
It was just hilarious and staying in character, and it just proved that these kind of teams and these kind of guys who many people think don't belong in the Hall, they absolutely do. Just for this reason, they were one of the most popular teams. I may not have liked them in WWE, but I can't deny that they made big money here. But I will always personally as a fan, I liked them better as the Sheepherders. Belong here.
But when we look at it, really, because this Hall of Fame is completely arbitrary, like, you know, we mentioned Rick Rude's not in it, right? You know, as a WWF guy, I mean, he's pretty important. Or it's now taken this long to get Savage in it. Since it is so arbitrary, as long as somebody thinks they belong in, they probably do for this type of Hall of Fame. It's not a sports Hall of Fame. It's to me, I likened it on the main event to more like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is another completely arbitrary Hall of Fame.
Yep.
There's no,
I agree.
You know, and so, you know, as long as they're getting recognized for their life's work, there's no problem having any of these people in here. You know, the only thing is when you start questioning is like, you know, when like let's say like Rikishi called him out. If Gangrel got in because like he had like pictures of Vince McMahon or something, you know, then you're going overboard. But you know, something like that's never going to go happen.
I did like the Gangrel
the shout out, yeah,
and then they showed
up. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that was way cool. Well, and my favorite moment from this speech was the Peter Maivia story with the nonstop.
That was great.
Man, that was, to me, that was just, you know, I mean, I could listen to these guys
tell
old stories all day long, talking about the Hart Kids, but that Peter Maivia story, man, was awesome. And where he just turns around and tells Maivia, yeah, just keep beating us up, man. We'd rather just fight one of you than 300 of you.
I did this, and you know, and the more beating he gave me, the better I knew I was going to survive the crowd.
Yeah.
That's fucking great. Yeah.
But anyway, guys, so we've already done five of the inductees. We have four more left. We're going to take a break so we can do some of the Place to Be Nation shout-outs. When we come back, we're going to do the last four Hall of Famers.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of the Kevin Kelly Show, right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, the Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at placetobenation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including the main event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather, Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team Podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats' RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
A host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And, of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
Okay, welcome back to the Place to Be Nation. I'm Will, and I'm here with Scott and Johnny Sorrow, and we're running down the Hall of Fame on WrestleMania weekend. And, guys, the next inductee one of my personal favorites, Tatsumi Fujinami. I don't think we can really talk about his speech, although it sounded sincere and great. I think we should talk about Ric Flair's induction of Fujinami, because I thought that was a great, great induction. Because people who are WWE fans but not necessarily aware of like Fujinami in his career, they don't really know how great of a person he is. But Flair touched on several things that I think we should talk about. And Scott, what about the induction here, buddy?
Well, you're not going to get many bigger Flair guys than me. So his induction, his speech inducting him was awesome. You don't hear Flair in the last few years anyway talk a lot about his overseas endeavors.
Right,
I mean, obviously, Fujinami is one of many Japanese guys he's battled. I mean, he fought Jumbo Tsuruta and obviously Inoki and a few other guys, Chono and them. Fujinami's a guy who I think more people will want to know about. And I think this was a great induction anyway, because I think this guy can open up avenues for newer fans that really don't know who he is.
Right.
I thought that Flair's induction speech was fantastic. I like when he said, you know, one night I go out for a couple drinks and everybody talks about it.
That was pretty awesome. I just want to put this forth right away.
Favorite Fujinami moment. Well, I mean, obviously, the match that he beat Flair in 91 was a great match. The rematch at Super Brawl was not as good, but it was still very good. But the match in Japan where Fujinami won the NWA title was pretty awesome. I remember a match, it was like 78. It was on a house show. I had a tape of it. I can't remember who he fought, but I remember him being on a house show in 78. And then I had another tape that somebody loaned me, and then the tape snapped in the VCR. But it's the one where he beat
Larry.
He beat Vader in 88 to win the I'm guessing it was the IWGP belt.
Right.
That match was fucking amazing.
No, because
it's the only Vader thing I've ever seen in Japan. I know him and Stan Hansen beat the fucking shit out of each other many times over there. But I remember a Vader Fujinami match. Yeah, I remember it was a Vader Fujinami match in mid to late 88 that I had on a tape that snapped in my VCR. But I remember that match very well. But I would say the one match that I can go back to all the time with him was the one where he beat Flair in 91.
I just want to say, kids, VCRs were these things that we used to have that tape.
Hey, who said that the other night?
and occasionally, tapes would actually snap, and we had to become fucking Scotty from Star Trek, trying to use scotch tape and little screwdrivers to put together our wrestling tapes. So, no, don't bitch about streaming.
Yeah, exactly. I still have my DVD VCR combo, so and use it often.
Yep. Oh man. Okay, Johnny, what did you think of Flair's speech? I know you're not really high on like Japanese wrestling or anything, so just
said it wasn't high on it. I'm just not an expert on it.
Okay, but I mean, well, I'll just throw it out there. Thoughts on Flair's induction speech and any Fujinami moments you can think of.
I thought Flair was great. I thought he was great. I adored him. He was he wasn't drunk like Michael Hayes was during the pre-show, all the same points you guys made. My favorite Fujinami moment, again from the Titans of Wrestling and footage we have, is in the late 70s, early 80s. He did a he was doing an American tour, and he was working in the garden, and they did a gimmick at the end of a match where they announced that he was proposing to his wife, to his fiance, And they brought this his wife out, and he proposed to her in the ring in Madison Square Garden. And it was crazy weird, especially for the time. You know, this was not like sports entertainment. You know, this was serious, you know, wrestling, WWF. And Tatsumi Fujinami is giving like a shout out to his fiance in the crowd. And it was crazy weird, and it was awesome. So that's my favorite.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna go out on a limb here and say I am the Fujinami expert on this panel.
I would imagine.
Okay, we did a project over at a Death Valley Driver message board where we did the best of the 1980s in New Japan. And I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm gonna say it, and I have no problem defending this position. In the ring, from bell to bell, Tatsumi Fujinami was the best wrestler on this show tonight, bar none. I love Macho Man. He's better than Macho Man. This guy, hold on. I don't care if you agree with me or not. I'm telling you. I'm giving you a lesson here.
Oh, no. No, okay. You're not giving me a lesson.
Yes, because you don't know enough about Fujinami.
You're giving me your opinion.
No, I'm giving a lesson because Fujinami, quite possibly, from bell to bell, I'm not saying he's a pop culture icon like Savage. I love Savage. Huge Savage supporter. What I'm saying is, from bell to bell, maybe one of the five best wrestlers to have ever walked in the ring. And Flair made a big statement tonight. He said that Fujinami is the greatest wrestler in Japanese history.
Yep.
And when he said that, I was like, wow. I didn't think Flair would give him those kind of props. You know,
I was waiting because for people who are more educated than I, I'm waiting for the message board, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, backlash on people like shitting on Ric Flair for saying that.
It's just undeniable truth.
That's what I'm saying. According to you, and I defer to you here, that apparently that's a perfectly logical and fair thing to say.
Yeah. Well, picking my favorite Fujinami moment would be like Sophie's Choice. Okay. It's really? That bad. Yeah. No, really. I couldn't pick one. But
Wait. So you either have to pick one match or give one match to the Nazis?
Exactly. Okay. No, what I mean by that, okay, Sophie's Choice, dated reference. I can't pick one of my children.
Then I get.
Yeah. All right.
Sophie's Choice.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted a different way of saying, you know, it's like picking one of your children. Anyway.
I get
all
it.
Right, man. Yeah. Scott's like, fuck Sophie's Choice.
Anyway. Sophie's what?
Not a Meryl. I like Meryl Streep about as much as I like the Bushwhackers.
I cannot stand her. I can't stand her. Anyway, back to Fujinami. We're not gonna do a film argument here, Johnny.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, Meryl Streep.
Oh God.
Yeah. The Devil Wears Prada. Moving on. Fujinami, one of my favorite moments and what I consider one of the best matches of all time. They had a 5-on-5 challenge. It's like a gauntlet with two teams. And Fujinami was in the ring with Yoshiaki Fujiwara. And it was one of the most intense matches, or, you know, sub-match within a match that I'd ever seen. Just awesome. Fujinami's a bloody mess. Fujiwara's, like, he's probably one of the forefathers of, like, shoot-style wrestling. Just great moment. Great. And there's so many moments because after that, you know, he gets into the ring with Akira Maeda, and Maeda gives him a kick straight to the fucking bloody head. You know, and it's like Fujinami's just getting destroyed by this guy, you know, and he's a bloody mess, and it's just beautiful wrestling. But the one thing I'll say about Fujinami, and we'll move on to the other guys, is that he's one of the few guys that was a top elite junior wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't just become a junior wrestler who fought heavyweights. He transformed into a heavyweight and became a top elite heavyweight wrestler where he wrestles the like of Ricky Choshu and Vader, as Scott mentioned and Flair mentioned.
Flair, yeah.
And one of the, undoubtedly, one of the greatest wrestlers of the 1980s from any promotion, from any where in the world, just awesome wrestler. I'm so glad he's in the Hall of Fame just because it gave me a chance to talk about Fujinami.
Yeah, and real quick for the people who go, well, you know, why is he in the WWE one? He had a established WWE career in the early 80s. You know, he held belts. Yes.
No,
you know, and shit.
Even then, I think someone made the point the other night, Scott, that it looks like the WWE wants to establish like a Hall of Fame wing for foreign wrestlers, and I think we might be getting a Japanese wing, and so, you know, it's nice to start.
But I would think that also, really, if you're going to go by how many times they appeared in a WWF ring, Fujinami is far more of a candidate than Inoki.
Well, I don't think the Hall of Fame's been about that. I mean, they've put guys like Vern and Bach that have never.
If you're going to think that way, you know, Fujinami fucking wrestled his ass off in the WWF.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying there's no reason to even think like that. I'm just saying because the WWE has been good about acknowledging wrestlers who never stepped foot in their.
Right. Right. But I'm saying there's still people who go, well, they're just doing that because of the Japanese market for the network.
All right, like, Mr. Positivity, let's move on.
Okay. It's okay to point out those people.
Yeah.
You're right.
No. Fine, Mr. I'm making complete sense.
Okay, I haven't seen those people who have said anything. That's so.
I have, man.
You're creating people haven't said it yet.
You don't venture past, and good on you for not.
That's
doing.
True. I do not venture across.
I venture past into the wilds of the internet, which is just good not good.
All right. Well, let's get on another candidate that we can all talk about. Someone we all have fond memories of. Randy Man. He's the Randy Man. Yeah.
Bonesaw.
Bonesaw.
How dare you, sir?
Christ. Macho Man Randy Savage, Johnny Sorrow, favorite parts of either Hogan's or Poffo's speech, and favorite Macho Man moment.
Randy Savage is my favorite wrestler of all time. I know I've said it's to be valiant, but when I really look at it, my favorite professional wrestler of all time is. Ooh, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, you know, that's the guy who influenced me more than anything else. He's my favorite. And I don't give a shit about the whole why he hasn't been in yet and all that shit. Well, who gives a shit? To ask me my favorite, I thought Hogan did a fine job. I thought, I love fucking Lanny because he loves his brother so much. Not the best speeches, but the video for him. And it doesn't matter. To me, it really doesn't matter whether or not Hogan's speech was good or Lanny was all over the place, which he was. To me, it's the Macho Man. It's Randy fucking Savage. To me, the greatest fucking professional wrestler who ever lived. Ever. He's my fucking guy. Because he has great in-ring worker, amazing character. Everything about him is just screams, and always did scream professional wrestler. And then if you want to get into the behind-the-scenes shit, one of the coolest motherfuckers ever, except maybe being, you know, super jealous. The whole thing about, I keep Elizabeth away from all these motherfuckers because they're all going to want to fuck her. Well, you know what? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know?
He was, okay, stop. We're not going to defend him locking his wife up in a closet. Favorite macho... No. Okay. Favorite Macho Man moment. Favorite Macho Man moment,
business,
buddy.
In this business, he was... dead on.
Should have kept her ass at home then. You don't lock her in a closet. Favorite Macho Man moment, Johnny.
My favorite Macho Man moment?
Locking Elizabeth in the closet.
No. My favorite Macho Man moment also involves Bruno Sammartino. And that's after he dropped the fucking bell into Ricky Steamboat's throat and they carted his ass out. And Bruno is backstage talking to him. And he's like, what do you think about this? You know, how could be? He's like, oh, yeah, they're taking the hot dog to the, take him to the hospital. Yeah, put a little mustard on that hot dog. Are you proud of what you did? Oh, yeah, I'm so proud of what I did. You're proud, you slime? Fucking Randy Savage was my, that's my favorite moment. The thing with him and Bruno backstage.
I agree with you 100%.
He was such a despicable fucking villain who goes, here's what I did. I did it. He was saying, well, no, the ref wasn't looking or, I didn't do that. No, he admitted. He admitted exactly what he did. He doesn't fucking care. Yeah, because he's a macho man. He's allowed to do these things. And Bruno going nuts. That was my favorite Macho Man moment of a million of them.
Right.
Because he is, I think, the greatest professional wrestler who's ever lived.
Sweet. Johnny? I'm sorry. No, stay quiet, Johnny. Scott?
Hogan's speech was very good. Lanny was okay. But again, I mean, that's his – I like that he emphasized – the philanthropy that Savage was involved with. That was cool.
Yeah, the Special Olympics stuff was really good.
Yeah, I've seen him at stuff when I was a kid because around here in Connecticut. So,
Wait, were you in the Special Olympics? I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. No. It's Randy fucking Savage, man. You can close your eyes, throw a dart, and pick any great moment. But I'll tell you right now. People have tried to tell me that there has been new greatest matches ever in WWE history, but I could sit and watch Ricky Steamboat over and over and over and over and fuck anybody who tells me it's still not the greatest match in the history of the business, in the history of WWE. Hogan admitted tonight that match was 10 times better than him and Andre.
Yep.
Now, him and Andre, and I always say this, WrestleMania 3 was about him and Andre selling the show, but Savage and Steamboat stole the show.
Yep.
And that match is just the build. I was in Hartford. Sorry, Will, this will be a short answer. I was in Hartford when he came back from the shot to the throat, Sorrows, when he jumped through the crowd and was getting in Savage's face. The fucking place was gonna. And that was the same night as the Hogan Orndorff cage match where their feet hit at the same time. And the place went fucking bullshit. And I looked at my brother. I was only, how old was I? 80. That was 86. I was 13. And I looked at my brother and I said, "We're gonna see this match at WrestleMania. There's no doubt about it." And to me, it's still. And when Jesse says it, I believe it. This is the greatest match I've ever seen, Gorilla, and it still is for me.
Wow. So. Okay. Well, to me, I love Poffo's speech. I've heard him speak on other podcasts before, and he's always reciting his poems about Macho Man. And on, I forgot which podcast.
Oh, me too. Maybe
Jericho's, where he talks about a speech he gave at his parents' 50th wedding anniversary party, which was touching. And so, like, to me, man, that Special Olympics stuff tore me up, man. Just, you know, talking about how, you know, Macho Man, who a guy that Hogan said was always on, was always intense, that, you know, when you were around Randy, you had to get up to his level because of that intensity. But then saying that, you know what, he was also very intense about the Special Olympics. And to me, you know, that felt genuine. It felt real. And the fact that Macho Man stayed out of the spotlight, right? He wasn't on talk shows. He wasn't doing appearances.
Oh,
really stayed out of the spot. No, hold on. To me, just stayed out of spotlight. But then when it comes to stuff like the Special Olympics deal, just, you know, never knew that story about them. Like, it's something that's never been aired. It's never been reported. And Poffo tells it, and it just makes you like the guy and just wish that, you know, it's like, it sucks, man, that we lost him already.
Yeah, it really stinks. Yeah, because, but, hold on. It really, hold on. You know what I'm saying? It really stinks because, you know, the only mega star from that era who saved his money and retired on his own volition and dies in such a fucking stupid way. It still fucking annoys me.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't like to think about that. The only thing I think is, you know, we wouldn't be talking about Savage if he was still alive, because I guess the holdup for him being in the Hall of Fame, you know, not the rumors and all that, but the holdup was he wanted him, Poffo, and their dad all inducted as a family. And so
and the big thing was when they inducted the Von Erichs and put in every Von Erich.
Including, like, Chris, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, well, if you're going to put in all the Von Erichs in Vince's Hall of Fame, then fuck him. I don't give a shit. He didn't give a shit about this.
Yeah. So, you know, so to me, unfortunately, it took losing him to get us to this point, right? I mean, so
favorite. See him in enough people going, really enough already? You know, come on.
What are you talking about?
No, I think it was not just losing him. I think it was enough of it, like, you know, it's, you know, Austin when he, on the podcast with Vince when he brought it up, it just got to a point where, like, you know, enough already. Randy Savage is.
But it also, but if Poffo wasn't going to budge, if Lanny Poffo wasn't going to budge, like, Lanny Poffo made the decision.
Well, no, they already said.
So if Poffo wasn't going to budge.
They already said they were going to put him in whether or not Lanny liked it or not.
Ah, okay. I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Well, how could he have stopped it? How could he have stopped it? He couldn't have.
Been real awkward. Yeah, none of the Poffos are here. We're not doing the, you know, okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're arguing over minutia. My favorite Macho Man moment, because I remember that Steamboat feud. Dude, a huge Steamboat mark growing up.
Yep.
Huge Steamboat mark growing up. For Savage, then, to go on after the Steamboat feud, because that Steamboat Savage isn't my favorite Savage moment. It's my favorite Steamboat moment, you know, because it was personal to me at the time. But my after that, you know, you see Randy Savage turn face, the Mega Powers become a team. He wins the title at 4. But I like that he turned on Hulk Hogan because of his jealousy. You know, and I like the Mega Powers exploding at 5 as a moment. It's not Randy Savage's best match, but the way that feud played out from beginning to end, this year-long storyline, to me, that's my favorite Randy Savage storyline arc, is that Hogan Savage feud. And I have no problem admitting that.
That's great.
No,
that's
as a match, matches, I mean, the guys had so many great matches, not just in WWF, but in Memphis, too. Where his feud with Lawler is probably my favorite Savage.
One of my favorite things in that is because Angelo Poffo was kind of part of that, and that one promo he does, like, oh, Jerry Lawler, you're just jealous of my dad's still here. Well, your dad's dead!
Oh, yeah, that was insane. Like, that was nuts.
Yeah!
Not my favorite Macho Man moment, because I didn't like it when the Freebirds mentioned Mike Graham. In Florida, I don't like that. You know,
whatever. I love that shit.
Oh, well, it's fine. Let's move on. Anyway, Arnold, I have nothing to say about this. It's cool that he's in. I mean, he deserves it just as much as any other celebrity. But Scott, you know, I'll just get y'all's general thoughts. Scott, any general thoughts on Arnold?
Well, he definitely has his moments with the company. Sadly, the times he was on camera, he usually was, you know, that he was visiting the company or was on a show, he was usually promoting a crap movie, not a good movie.
End of days.
Everyone remembers him knocking out Triple H on SmackDown, but no one remembers that the movie he was pimping was End of Days, which was utter crap.
I saw that movie in the theater because of this stupid promotion on WWE.
Yeah, and then he came back in, what was it, 2013 or last year, whatever, for that other terrible they're all in the DEA or wherever the hell they were.
What was that? What are you talking about?
Remember when he came back? He came back last year and he was in a movie.
Yeah.
They were like in the DEA. They were all in like drug enforcement and they were like a strike force or something.
No. Wasn't it the one where he's a sheriff and.
No, it was. Yeah, I know that. Well, maybe it
haven't
was.
Seen an Arnold movie since he started making movies. Again.
That's because they all stink, dude.
Wow. Yeah. But no, I mean, I obviously it was cool. Triple H's induction was cool, and yeah, I like Arnold. He belongs in.
Yeah, I have no problem for a celebrity wing for him getting in. I mean, I just don't have anything to comment about this segment. What about you, Johnny?
I don't give a shit. I fast forwarded to it. I did. Okay. I had to catch up. I had to my feet on my phone and my feet on the TV was, you know, I had to catch up. The celebrity wing. I don't give a fuck.
All right, cool. Well, if you don't give a fuck, let's just move on.
But I will say, I don't know. Really, why? He really hasn't been that big of a celebrity in as far as in WWF.
No, but I mean, Drew Carey had a Royal Rumble moment.
And I would say the same thing about Drew Carey.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, for who's already in it, like, I have no problem. But to me, the celebrity wing is irrelevant until Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper, exactly. Until Cyndi fucking Lauper is in.
You know what I did like about this speech, though? Was acknowledging his friendship with Bruno. That was touching.
Yes.
I really liked that.
I've read the whole thing about him in the
fine, but I just like I'm like, eh. But here's at the same time, I'm not. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know what? I'm going to make another argument. I was hoping one of y'all would make it, so I wouldn't have to talk about it. But how many of these guys got into bodybuilding and then from bodybuilding jumped into wrestling because of Arnold? You know what I mean? Like, how many of them would have even gotten serious about being bodybuilders?
Yeah. True.
Without him. And so you look at that as a good or a bad thing, but I think there is a influence factor there.
And somewhere Lou Ferrigno is crying awkwardly.
Lou. Yeah.
Lou too, sure. I mean, maybe
when Ted Arcidi
gets in there, we'll go, yeah.
Ted Arcidi.
Bill Kazmaier, right? Or whatever, however you pronounce it.
Oh, Kaz. It's good. Great World's Strongest Man, horrendous wrestler.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to the main event, guys. No Kevin Fugino. Nash. Johnny.
Not the main event.
Yeah, it is.
No, the main event was Savage.
This is the main event.
No, this was like a no. This was like a Madison Square Garden card. The main event happened earlier.
I knew you were going to say Johnny that. Johnny Logic. This was the tag team curfew match.
This is the tag team curfew match.
Well, wait, hold on, Scott. What was the WWF show late 80s where it ended with a tag match after like a huge world title?
Well, Rumble 88.
Did that have Paul Roman in a tag match?
Yeah, it was. Rumble 88 was the Hogan Andre signing for the main event. You know, the main event in Indianapolis when the whole two faces thing. And the last match was, the fuck was it? The Hart Foundation and the Young Stallions?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So
this
is the Hart Foundation versus the Young Stallions.
Yeah.
Yes.
The main event of the show was Savage. That's how it was presented. That's how every graphic showed the V coming down to Savage. It's all about Savage. They just didn't want to end with a dead guy and his brother doing poems. That's the only reason why Nash was on last. For anyone who's going, Triple H is being the click and blah, blah, fuck you. No, that's not why.
It's the click, man. They're doing it again.
No, it's not why.
Keeping the other wrestlers down.
No, it's not why. Savage was the main event of this long fucking Hall of Fame show.
I'll tell you what, man. After watching the Hall of Fame, they should have let the Bushwhackers be the main event. Sorry.
Exactly. Well, watching it, sure. You know, but everyone's listening to this who's getting all fucking their panties in a fucking twist about the click and shit. Fuck you. No, it's because they wanted to have someone who can talk at the end of the show. That's it. Savage was the main event.
Okay.
That being
said, now the main event, Kevin Nash, Scott, what's your favorite? I'm just fucking with you, Johnny.
Right, that being said, I thought Nash gave a great speech. And I thought HBK was fucking hilarious.
Okay. What was your favorite moment? No. Let's just go with your favorite moment of the speech.
HBK is awful at this shit.
Yeah, I agree with Soros.
And
sometimes
he was really good.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say normally he's really bad at this shit.
The last one he did was it last year?
Did he induct Scott Hall?
Did he? I don't even know.
Who inducted
Triple H? Inducted Scott Hall.
Really? No, Kevin Nash did, didn't he?
Let me see.
I think you're right.
Whatever the last one was where HBK inducted somebody, you're right. He seemed like he did not give a shit that he didn't want to be there.
Nash did induct
Scott
Hall.
Very funny. I thought he was very funny. I love the whole, like, hey, here's a guy. We're all a bunch of fucking marks. And here's the guy who comes along and tries to tell us, hey, you know, it's a job. We should all just try to make money. And I love that.
What was the thing? And either of y'all answer this for me. What was the thing says where you can't mention Vince? Like, is that a weird WWE thing?
I don't know, man. That was kind of weird. Like,
because my man Rikishi mentioned Vinnie Mac earlier on, you know, in the show.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird, but they kept like having a reference was of the guy who approved my tuxedo and that kind of fucking shit. And then I thought Nash came out and gave a really great speech. I thought he was really self-effacing and gave a lot of credit to people and was really funny. I thought he was good. Really, I enjoyed it.
Okay. And your favorite Nash moment, Johnny?
Of the speech?
No, your favorite Kevin Nash wrestling moment.
Oh, my favorite Kevin Nash moment? Let's see. Okay, it's probably not, but the one that comes to my mind right away is WrestleMania, his last WrestleMania as Diesel.
Okay.
It's Undertaker, when he comes out and he goes, yeah, I'm the shit. and during the build up he breaks the coffin up going, you know what, I'm not scared of fucking fairy tales. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's fucking cool.
Good one. Okay, Scott, favorite moment of this speech?
The fact that we had to look at pictures of Oz.
That was great.
I think that might have been my favorite.
And I like how he kept requesting the one with the rubber mask. You know, mask up there.
Dunscap.
Couldn't I just open the box and they fired me?
that was
great.
Yeah, it was very funny. Very funny.
Favorite Kevin Nash moment? That's a good pick, Soros. I like his match. I like his match with Taker at WrestleMania 12. I like his match with Taker at WrestleMania 12. Interesting. Yeah, I would take any match he did with any match he had with Bret Hart.
Yeah, those were good.
He had
except
four
the
of them.
One where who got pulled into the bottom of the ring?
He did. Oh, In Your House 6. Taker, that was him.
Taker
pulled him in because.
But that was a Bret
match, because
right?
He what cost Taker the Bret? Match with Bret at the Rumble.
Okay.
So he got his. I would say the best of those was the was when Bret beat him for the title at Survivor Series 95. That's a fantastic match.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that would be my favorite.
Okay, well, yeah, I like this. You know, I mean, I like how he mentioned his wife, man. You know, like and how he gave the advice. If you want to keep your wife in this business, you keep her away from the business. You know, so that
Rick
was cool.
Another. That was the Rick Rude. That was the other Rick Rude reference.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
And so I do like that multiple Hall of Famers mentioned Rick Rude. I have a gut feeling he may be the posthumous guy next year.
So well, hopefully he's there, and hopefully Vader's there with his Hall of Fame mask.
Oh, that was tight.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But, what do you call it? My favorite Kevin Nash moment. I'm going to pick two because it's so Kevin Nash. One was, I'll tell you what, man. I'm not going to lie. A full disclosure. I was out of watching wrestling for about 6-7 years on a regular basis, just because I, you know, Man, I hit puberty, went to high school. Wrestling wasn't cool in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, with all the neon and the colorful tights. And
it was great matches.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Low business.
No, I know.
When
I wasn't watching either.
Yeah, see, there you go. Because you know, right? It's hard to get a date, you know, when that's your hobby at that age. But, you know, it was just one of those things, man, where years of dusty booking in the NWA drove me away from that product, because that was real serious wrestling, as we all know.
And oh, yeah. Lasertron, so serious.
And the cartoony, everybody has to be a character, they can't just be a good wrestler aspect of the WWF drove me away from that product. Man, it was that NWO that got me back into wrestling, man. A buddy of mine, I worked at a nightclub, I was a bartender, a buddy of mine that I still talk to this day, still go to wrestling shows with to this day. Showed me a tape, man. He said, here, check this out. And it was NWO Sold Out 97. And not a good show.
No, not a good show.
But if you look at it from an aesthetic standpoint, it was dark, it was ugly, it was sarcastic.
It was them. It was
dirty. And it was them. I was like, wow, man, this is cutting edge shit. You know, I really felt that way.
But riding garbage trucks.
But you know, by then I'd already, like, you know, did the research, you know, about Hogan's turn and getting into the NWO storyline and, you know, getting filled in through reading magazines at Target on the newsstands.
Oh, I used to do that all the time, man.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, just becoming this massive super wrestling nerd, all because of the NWO. Then doing the Monday Night War thing. Getting into the Bret Hart, Stone Cold, HBK love triangle, and doing the flipping the channel back and forth, having the Nitro/Raw parties every Monday night. Because as a bartender, your weekends are Mondays and Tuesdays. You know, that's when you have to clean the club or, you know, count the liquor bottles, whatever. But, you know, the clubs, the nightclub I worked at was closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, open Wednesday through Sunday. And, man, you know, that was part of my weekend.
Let me ask you this, though.
Talk to me.
For and Scott, too. Did you hate Kevin Nash's red fucking outfit as much as I did?
I didn't care, like, Johnny.
Diesel wore black, and now he's... You know,
didn't matter to me a bit.
Red, and I'm like, I don't like
Wolfpack colors, man. I have no problem with it.
No, it was before Wolfpack.
Him and Scott Hall were Wolfpack. So whatever, it's Wolfpack colors.
But I mean, like Bash the Beach.
No, John, okay. The answer to the question is no. It didn't bother me. Didn't care. It
bothered the fuck out of me, dude. I didn't like it at all. Diesel was supposed to wear black.
Oh, God. Okay, he's not Diesel anymore. Red. He's for real now. He's a real wrestler. Yeah, okay, Kevin fine. Nash.
Kevin, now, whoa, real people wear red.
No, because WCW was the real wrestling, man. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and then my favorite Kevin Nash moment.
Kevin Nash? Was it fucked Hot Lips?
Oh, shit, Hot Lips. God damn it. No, he died in a helicopter after he got evacuated out of Korea. Anyway. Fuck. Okay. Kevin, my favorite Kevin Nash moment in the ring was actually the Action Zone tag with him, HBK, Razor, right, and 1-2-3 right. Kid. Great match.
Oh, it's a fantastic match.
But it's Kevin Nash to eat a super kick, lie on the floor for 5, 7, 8 minutes, whatever it was, while the other three do the work, and then come back for the finish. Awesome.
That is Rob Naylor's favorite match of all time.
Awesome. Awesome Kevin Nash moment that shows the best and worst of Nash all in one. But I wouldn't have it any other way. It's Kevin Nash. And then, you know, so I had to mention that. But no, I mean, NWO, Hall, Nash, not so much Hogan. Man, I didn't like Hogan in the NWO, but Hall and Nash.
Why? He was the only one that drew heat.
Yeah. No, six. No, but what I'm saying, though, is like, I thought, especially, like, I guess I'm getting my ears mixed up. Later on, man, it's not him drawing heat. It's him not fitting with the aesthetic of the NWO, plus the watered-down shit. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, man, it got me back into wrestling because from there, the NWO storyline drew me in. But from there, I discovered all the great wrestlers, the Benoits, the Malenkos, the Rey Mysterios, the Eddie Guerreros, you know, have no problem saying it.
Jerry Flynn.
No, he wasn't there. Oh, Jerry Flynn, not Jerry Lynn. Yeah, Jerry Flynn. Jerry Flynn is pretty good.
Anyway. Well, Mr. JL was there.
No, not by the time I'd started watching, but either way, guys, I thought this was an easy thumbs up. Great Hall of Fame. Anybody who likes watching these things should go out of their way to see it. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. It was a great collection of people, and I think it was the most spoken from the heart inductions.
Felt that way, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that I've ever, and I've been to a Hall of Fame, and I think it was the most in terms of from the heart inductions we've ever had, and I think it may change the tenor of how future inductions are going to be.
Nice, Johnny Sorrow. What do you want to say to sum this up?
I think this was my favorite Hall of Fame show that I've seen since they've been doing it on this big scale way. The worst ever was when they were doing the countdown numbers and shit.
That sucked. When they gave the funk for like 5 minutes, that was embarrassing.
Hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin, here's your 2 minutes. Fuck you.
That was fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, it was.
They should make all of those Hall of Famers redo it.
I agree, man. Like, redo that shit. I live in the moment, but this might have been my favorite one that I've seen.
I wouldn't laugh at you for saying that at all, man.
I really enjoyed the shit out of this. It was really long, but
it was a great way to spend the evening. Counting the hours down to WrestleMania. All three of us are going to be watching. Scott, you going to join us on the reaction show, man, to make this a 4-hour reaction show? Or you got to work on Monday.
Yeah, I know. I got to work Monday. But I will listen to them. I will listen on Monday because it's a long show anyway. I bet you it'll end by. I bet you it'll end.
The reason we're doing a Hall of Fame show tonight is because I'm not going to talk about the Hall of Fame tomorrow. Anytime anyone wants to talk about it, say, you had your chance last night. Because I offered to let anybody who's going to be on the show tomorrow come on the Hall of Fame show. Everybody wanted to watch.
So basically...
Johnny, I told you about it last night.
Yeah, but I forgot, dude. That was
Okay. I was like, dude, I told you, like everybody, I told like you, Dylan.
So you asked everybody, and you had to settle on me and Scott.
No, well, I didn't settle on anybody.
I am glad that me and Scott fucking lived up to your goddamn
standards. No, dude, I wanted everybody who was on the show. Scott, were you not on the first several reaction shows with us?
Or yes, most of I was.
You know, whenever you weren't at the card, you know.
Yes,
you were there.
I was.
Yes. Yep. And then it finally got to the point where we have blowhards like Johnny Sorrow, my buddy Dylan from Wrestling Culture, wrestling historian Chris Zellner, guys that forever love hearing the sounds of their own voices, which is nothing wrong with that. But Scott, did those shows go too long or what? For your work load?
Yeah, a couple of them would be. I mean, it's okay now to be, because you know it's Sunday, but there were some some that were tough.
Yeah,
to 2 in the morning, East Coast time. Yeah, a little tricky.
But yeah, no, I completely understand. But no, I did ask Scott tonight because I didn't know if he was ever going to have me on as a guest of the main event again. We've squashed that. We're good.
Stop it.
But
we'll definitely.
I was just trying to drop a real quick.
Doesn't Aubrey Winterson kind of sound like the villain in a bad 80s like teen romp? You know, like the head of the bad frat. He's the head of the bad frat.
What, like, like, Okay.
Yeah. Looks like David Spade with glasses or some shit.
Definitely a member of Cobra Kai. Anyway, moving on.
No, because those guys kicked ass. This guy looks like Stuttering John. This guy looks like Stuttering John.
I re-listened to the main event show, not nearly as contentious as I thought it was. And to be fair,
listening to yourself.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, generated a lot of interest, but I listened to it, and I think there were points where he got me and Scott confused, which Scott and I talked about, and I think there were points where I got him confused with his buddies, Ben Morris and Reesh is the other one who was with us, right, Scott?
Yeah.
So there were points where I would get someone else confused with him, so it wasn't as bad as I thought, but having said
let me tell you where something wasn't confused. No, I'm getting my plug in now. We recorded Brainbuster 3 tonight. Kelly defended the title against Dylan and Chris Zellner. And
When does it drop, Johnny?
It drops on Tuesday because there's no way in fuck that I'm going to drop this show in the middle of 18 million Will fucking WrestleMania shows.
Well, you might want to even consider Wednesday, because you're going to have to drop in the middle of 10 Monday reaction to Raw shows. So,
because Wednesday is the big night that people want to listen to podcasts. Whatever. Sure.
okay, whatever. All right, Scott, anything else coming up on the Place to Be Nation?
In all seriousness, you guys need to listen to this.
We're going to listen to it, Johnny.
It's
going to
be... It's a great show.
Good. Scott, anything coming up on Place to Be Nation?
Coming up this week, I do know that Justin and I, the next Place to Be podcast, will have the Vintage Vault Judgment Day 2004.
Okay.
So that'll be coming up this week as well. So, and then the following week, Kevin Kelly's show and main event. So, and plus all the great articles you can check out. The guys ranked their WrestleManias, and we had some other great WrestleMania stuff as well. So check the site out. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and if you venture onto a Goodwill Wrestling show or two from this week, be sure to listen to those too. Anyway, I want to thank both of you guys for hanging out with me on a Saturday night slash Sunday morning to talk about a great Hall of Fame show. For everybody else, check out the reaction show, and we'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah.
Peace.